Hi, if you've just joined us, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. And we're speaking to Dr. Adiba Kamaruzzaman, president of the International AIDS Society in conjunction with World AIDS Day. Dr. Adiba, so let's talk a little bit about the transmission trends, what we know so far. What are the changing demographics of how this disease spreads? What is that telling you? I'm wondering because I'm asking how we can read those numbers in the context of things, as opposed to just taking the absolutes.
Yeah. So in Malaysia, let's stick to Malaysia. Back in the late 90s, early 2000, we saw an explosion of HIV infections amongst people who inject drugs. So we were seeing up to 4,000 at its peak, 6,000 new infections amongst people who injected drugs. Amidst a lot of negativity and pushback, we managed to introduce the controversial needle syringe program and the methadone program. But as you saw earlier, the reduction in the number of new infections amongst people who inject drugs drastically over the last decade or more since the introduction of what's known as harm reduction, to less than a few hundred per year. So, you know, one can say that it's a success. And the lesson there is that if you implement policies based on science and you invest in, you know, a program that's been proven to work elsewhere around the world, you're going to get good results, right? Even if your ideology tells you something else, right?
Yeah, and I would just stop you there. If you just help us understand what's controversial about the needle exchange program. Is it because it says, well, if you're going to take drugs, we're not going to stop you from taking drugs. We're going to let you take drugs. We're going to help you do it in a safe way. And that's what's controversial,
isn't
it?
That's what's controversial. That's because you are saying it's okay. Well, those who are against it are saying, you are saying it's okay to use drugs.
Right.
You know?
And what you're saying is you're being agnostic. You're saying we can't make a judgment. What we want you to do is to reduce harm to yourself.
Correct.
And others.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And abstinence is not an easy thing, you know, that it takes time. And so the methadone program, which goes hand in hand with clean needles and syringes, is to reduce the craving. And so it, you know, kind of gets someone to use methadone, which they take by mouth, instead of injecting. That's another modality by which we reduce the harm or reduce the risk.
Okay. So if you're saying that, you know, the intravenous drug users, that mode of transmission has gone down, and I understand maternal child HIV transmission has also been eliminated in Malaysia, does that mean that by default sexual transmission will then go up? Is that how we should read
the
numbers?
It's not by default. I think it actually has gone up compared to what it was, two decades ago. And the sad thing is it doesn't need to be that way, because if we treat everyone who is HIV positive, who's living with HIV, with this effective treatment, and you bring the level of virus down in that person to what is known as undetectable, then that person will not transmit the virus, whether to their sexual partner or to their unborn child. You know, that's the concept of U equals U, or undetectable equals untransmissible. That's very important from a public health. So treatment is not just important for the individual, which will allow them to lead a normal, healthy life, productive life, but also from a public health point of view, it reduces transmission. And it's been shown around the world, if you're in countries where the uptake of treatment is high, you see not just a reduction in death rates, but you also see a reduction in transmission.
To what extent is Malaysia, you know, in the context of these global conversations, really taking on board? And when I mean Malaysia, I mean the policymakers. Whether by stealth or by, you know, right, really keeping things under the radar? Because you can be effective by keeping things under the radar. You don't have to publicize everything, do you?
No.
So tell us, how does it actually work in Malaysia? And how responsive, from your perspective, are Malaysian policymakers and people in the, you know, on the levers of power to these global conversations?
Well, I think, you know, when we introduced the harm reduction program, it was a shock to the rest of the world because Malaysia is very well known for having a punitive approach to drug use, and you know we were looked upon as like leaders in the region, if not the world, coming from where we are, where we were. But from other aspects, you know, we have done quite a bit. You know, the elimination of mother-to-child transmission, the free treatment, and we can be truly proud that the majority of our HIV programs are supported through domestic funding. We've got a smallish global fund, you know, that has helped complement the programs that's funded by the government. But we need to do more. We always need to do more. And I think one area that we really, really need to scale up quickly is PrEP, or pre-exposure prophylaxis. Again, in countries where scale-up of PrEP have taken place, you're hardly seeing new HIV infections. Australia, for example.
Can you very quickly just tell us a little bit about PrEP for those who may not be familiar?
Okay, so PrEP is... To treat HIV, the person living with HIV has to take three different types of drugs, because that's to make sure that you attack the HIV from every angle to reduce the possibility of the virus gaining resistance. One of those three drugs, called tenofovir, has also been shown, if the person who is not HIV infected takes it every day, and am I allowed to say this? Have sex?
Yes, you are.
I just did. Then, if they take this PrEP tablet, the tenofovir, daily, it has been shown to prevent them from getting HIV infected, pretty much like the oral contraceptive pill.
Okay. How much does it cost? And cost one of the issues for PrEP?
Not anymore. I mean, it still costs around about, I think, about 250 ringgit a month. So, you know, it's not bad, but it's, you know, in countries where PrEP is given free, it's, of course, a lot better and encourages people to use it. And the other exciting development is, you know, after a while, people can tire of taking tablets every day, right? So there are new studies that involves what's known as long-acting injections. So long-acting cabotegravir is the name of the drug. By giving an injection every 2 months, it has been shown to reduce infection in women, in men who have sex with men, and in transgender. There was a huge study, the HPTN-084.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
That was released. The results were released on the same day as the Pfizer
vaccine
that it just got drowned. But to me, this is equally exciting because we have the tools to prevent HIV.
I want to come back and talk a little bit about that and why this is such an important development. We're going to take a quick break, but more with Dr. Adiba in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.